Good morning, and we're continuing with our series of conference call briefings here at the Israel Project following yesterday's meeting between President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Our guest on this call is Major General in Reserves Yaakov Amidror, the former Israeli National Security Advisor and the head of Israel's National Security Council. We hosted General Amidror for a call a couple of days ago before the meeting took place to get his analysis on the major issues to be discussed, and here we are again, a bit more knowledgeable about Trump's vision for Mideast peace, and yet perhaps more confused at the same time. General Amidror, thank you for joining us.
You are most welcome. Thank you for having me.
How are you summing up yesterday's meeting?
You know the story about Cho Enlai, who had been asked about the his view about the French Revolution, and he said it's too early to judge. And I think that that can be applied to this meeting. What can be said is very clear. The atmosphere was very good. It's important, but as I tried to convince my colleagues and people from the media during the previous administration, it's very important, but it's not the most important issue. The most important issue is the content and the personal relations and the atmosphere and so on and so forth. Are important, but not the most important. And but we can sum up that the atmosphere and then the personal relations were very good, and it was clear. And it and the Americans make all the efforts to show that it is good relations personally, and the and to give the best for building a good atmosphere. Okay. About the content, I think that about Iran, it is clear that both sides. Agree about the threats of Iran. Both sides are sharing the same view about the need to contain Iran. They have to work very hard how to do it, which is the main question after they agree about the principle. About the Palestinian issue, I think that here it could be seen very clear from what we heard publicly that the administration is in a process of shaping a policy. They don't have a clear idea. They are more open towards the Israeli needs. They're not ready to force themselves, but I think it's very premature and too early to say that they have a clear vision and for sure not a clear policy how to handle it. And I think that the meeting was very important because it allowed the Prime Minister of the State of Israel to help the Americans to shape this policy in a way that will be easier for Israel or better for Israel. About the third issue, which I think is very important, maybe the other than the Iran, the most important, is how to build the new Middle East. After the shakeup of the Arab Spring, the changes on the ground in so many countries, the collapse of a few countries in the Middle East, the intervention of the Russians, the success of the Iranians to build an axis going from Tehran through Baghdad into Damascus and Beirut, and so on and so forth. What can be done to build a stability in the Middle East, which will have radical Islam from Muslim Brotherhood to ISIS in one side and to contain Iran on the other side. I think here the conversation between the two leaders was a very important one because no one has a clear idea how to do it, and the exchange of views between them and their experts in this stage is very important because it is something that should be built for the future. It is a long way, a very complicated one, but maybe the most important one for the future of the Middle East other than containment of Iran. So substance, more questions than answers, very nice, very good atmosphere, very good personal relations, good beginning, but a lot of work for the future.
So in the spirit of more questions than answers, we have plenty of questions, and most of them are touching upon the regional issues. Let's be very blunt. Is the regional solution what we've been hearing for both Trump and Netanyahu, saying that there's an opportunity for a broader Arab-Israeli deal? Is it a realistic approach or just wishful thinking?
I think it's very realistic. Because I cannot guarantee it. It cannot be guaranteed, but it's a historical moment in which so many Arab Sunni countries feel that they don't have any anchor of stability in this changing Middle East. The Americans are not ready to interfere, to send their, to use their capabilities here. They don't need them, these countries, as it was needed during the Cold War and when energy was so important. And so on and so forth, many reasons why the Americans are reluctant to be engaged as they had been in the past. First. Second, the threat of Iran, which endangered the existence of these countries. Look what happened in Syria, look what happened in Iraq. Look what happened in Yemen, look what happened in Bahrain, look what happened in some areas in Saudi Arabia, and so on and so forth. They understand that Iran is not going to give up. It's not just the nuclear issue. It is the feeling of the Iranians that they should be the leaders of the Middle East and move away the Sunni countries from their way. And in many cases, they are doing it by force. Syria is a good example. In many cases, they use the Shiites in those places, Lebanon, Bahrain, and you know, terror and subversion is something that they use every day. And the third threat, which is the third issue with the third factor, is the radical Islam from Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and in Jordan, the ISIS in Iraq and in Syria, in Al-Qaeda in Yemen, in North Africa, and so on and so forth. The ability of the State of Israel to help in many areas, from intelligence to military capabilities, is something that is essential for the ability of those countries to deal with this, with those threats. How to build a structure before having an agreement with the Palestinians in which Israel can cooperate with these countries publicly. I'm not speaking about covertly. This is happening anyhow, and the visit will not change it. How can we help them in America, either in the White House or in the Hill? How can we cooperate with the Americans that will be engaged with this country and with us, and together to build something which will work against those threats? This is the, if you ask me, this is the main challenge that should be dealt with, because it's a huge opportunity which we didn't have in the past, and today it is there. Unlike in the past, in which it was seemed like Israel needs it, because Israel needs the Arab states. In this occasion, it's not just Israel; it's the Arab states, when it's Israel as well. So, unlike in the past, it's the sharing of the same threats and interest is much, much stronger force than before, and should be used by both the new administration and the State of Israel and those Sunni Arab states to build something which will work for the benefit of all. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's very simple. It's complicated, and both sides should be very delicate when they are handling it. It's easier with the Egyptians and Jordanians, with which we have diplomatic relations. It's more complicated with other countries with which we don't have formal relations. But for all the Middle East, it is essential to find a way to work together, because the threats, either from Iran or radical Islam or from the collapse of many countries, all of them, are the interest of both the Arab countries and the State of Israel, and at the end of the day, of the United States of America.
You're talking a lot about how Israel wants that regional cooperation, and as well the Arab countries around us, but we rarely hear them publicly saying that. In fact, just the opposite. Can you give us a couple of examples of moderate Sunni Arab states working with Israel, at least in the last few years?
Yes, I can quote, I can be more than that. I mean, the fact that we are working with the Jordanians and the Egyptians is not a secret. The leak of the conversation between permanent Israelis and Egyptians, the fact that King Abdullah said a year ago that he is in very good relations with the prime minister is not an accident. But I, 6 months ago, I shared the same podium with Prince Turki bin Faisal, which had been the ambassador of Saudi Arabia in both London and Washington, the head of the intelligence of the Saudi intelligence for many years. And he says publicly, he said it publicly when it was in real time in the internet in Saudi Arabia. So they don't ashamed. They want to cooperate, as he said it, with the Israeli money and the Arab mind. The Middle East will look totally different for the better. And there is a strong element of truth behind it. The problem of these leaders is that they became the prisoner of their own propaganda. And they cannot use it because the street sentiment in the Arab countries is with the Palestinians. And they need something that will be changed between us and the Palestinians. What is the problem? It's a catch-22. The more it is depend on the Palestinians, the price that the Palestinians want is higher, and Israel is not ready to pay such a high price. Because if they say to themselves and to the world, if the key for better Middle East, for better relations between Israel and the Arab states is in our hands, we, the Palestinians in Ramallah, so you should pay. The way to do it is to go from the other direction.
Now we've heard a lot of
something. To begin with something very loose, not an alliance, kind of an umbrella shared by the led by the United States of America, shared by the Sunni countries in Israel. To begin with symbolic acts, and slowly. To build something that will show the Palestinians that the Middle East is not waiting for them, that the Arab countries, because of their own interests, are ready to go ahead very slowly, and at the beginning, not important and not changing and not revolution of the Middle East, but a little bit of evolution in the Middle East, which will bring the Palestinians to understand that they should join the efforts, and when they will be in ready to negotiate something that the Palestinians are not ready to do today, it will be easier to deal with the problem when the Arab states stands behind the Palestinian leader who will handle the negotiations. I know that it is totally different from what happened in the past, and it's not easy to build such an approach. And the way is, as I said, it's very complicated, but if the Americans will be determined, because of the interest of the Arab countries and the State of Israel and the United States of America, if that will be handled very cautiously, it can be done.
From your experience, has there ever been concrete work done hammering out such details for such a plan?
Details not, but principles yes.
Okay, can you elaborate a little bit?
In many occasions, formal and informal meetings between Israelis and Arab states representative, not formal representative, but in some cases even formal representative. We spoke about what can be done, how it can be done, and the problem is how they can convince their own people that it is the benefit of the Arabs to continue with Israel, even before there is something significant between Israel and the Palestinians, and then the Palestinians will come later. This is the obstacle that we are facing, and this is why the engagement of the United States of America is so important.
All right, I know you have limited time on the line with us today. I do want to ask you, where does this leave Gaza? What does it mean for Gaza, all the regional initiatives? Is it inside the initiative? Is it external to it?
It's a very good question. Now it's a different Gaza. After the decision of Hamas to elect the leader of the military wing as the leader of the of Hamas in Gaza, it means that Hamas is going into the extreme. And we have to see what are the practical consequences of this decision. For the moment, there is no way to deal with Gaza. If something will go ahead with the Arab countries and the Palestinians, then it will be easier to deal with Gaza, humanitarily first, and then to see what can be done about Hamas. Hamas is not just an Israeli problem. Hamas is a threat to the Egyptians. It's a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Hamas is a threat to the Palestinian Authority. Hamas, in a way, is a threat, huge threat for Jordan. So Hamas should be dealt later, and we should not take Gaza as an excuse not to do anything, because Gaza will take time.
All right, and we'll leave it at that at the moment. Major General in Reserves Yaakov Amidror, the former Israeli National Security Advisor and head of Israel's National Security Council, thank you, as always, for joining us, and have a good day.
Thank you, and have a good day. Thank you very much.